Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Guessing that if someone asked us, most of us could come up with an image of a child kneeling by their bedside in prayer. It's a typical kind of image that we have. When I was growing up and going to the Lutheran day school, it was always, fold your hands and bow your heads. It's time for prayer. That was the way that we did it. I mean, we all had seen the painting of the old gentleman at the table with his hands folded and his head bowed in front of the piece of bread that he was going to have for his meal. I mean, that was it. That was how you prayed. And then I discovered that there were people who raised their hands when they prayed. Some of them even swayed back and forth and kind of danced, which, of course, struck my good Midwestern Lutheranism right to its core, right? Then in seminary, I learned of the orans position, where a pastor will be leading prayer with and for the congregation. You see, so there are lots and lots and lots of ways for us to hold our hands, lots of different postures that we can adopt if we're going to pray, and none of them are wrong. You see, I don't want to tell you that one is better or another, and I don't want to tell you how to stand or hold your hands or anything like that. What I want to do is I want to encourage you to pray. And so sometimes for people, the argument isn't about how I'm supposed to hold my hands, but where it is that we should pray, that's the question they ponder. Now, some folks pray here in church. Now, I know that we all do, but for some, this is the exclusive place where they pray. Some pray behind the wheel when they drive. Some pray behind their desk at work. I used to pray at any given desk in a math class when I was in school, just because I always needed help with math, all right? Some have a place at home, whether it's a chair or a war room that they go to pray. Some people pray best out of doors. Others pray best tightly wrapped in their covers in bed. But again, no one place is best or necessary. What is best is that we pray. And this is what Jesus is doing at the beginning of today's gospel story. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, who I usually refer to as the PJs, right? Peter, James, and John, he took them with him, and he went up a mountain to pray. Now, throughout Luke's gospel, there are many times we see Jesus go off by himself to pray. And there are other times when Jesus is encouraging the disciples to go and do the same. And so today, Jesus is going up a mountain to a lonely place to take time to converse with God, to allow God to communicate with him, to work with God to change the future. And while there are many times in this gospel where we hear that this happens, today we get the whole story. You see, Jesus went up to pray, and then all of this transfiguration stuff happened. While Jesus was praying, he began to glow. The appearance of his face changed. Now, I don't know if that means that he looked like someone else, or if his face glowed and thereby changed. His clothes became dazzling white. The glory of the Lord shone around him. Now, Jesus was still Jesus. He was still the man that Peter, James, and John knew and were happy to follow. But in this moment, he was also shown as God the Son, as the Son of God, no longer setting aside the glory that is his, but standing there fully revealed in all that glory. And then Jesus was joined by Moses and Elijah, representing the law and the prophets. They were speaking to Jesus about his ministry and about his departure that was coming. And also there were Peter, James, and John, shocked, amazed, weighed down, and tired, but they were still there. In fact, Peter, James, and John had followed Jesus up that mountain to pray. They went to be with Jesus. They went to learn from Jesus. They went to converse with God, to allow God to communicate with them, and to work with God to change the future. And while they're on that mountain, they watch as Jesus changed and glowed. They saw Jesus and the glory of God shine around him. They witnessed the conversations between Jesus and Moses and Elijah. They even spoke to Jesus completely filled with confusion and witnessed the presence of God in a cloud descending. They heard a voice. They heard God's voice declaring Jesus as son and beloved and urging them to listen. The voice of God was bringing them comfort and guidance as well as a challenge and hope for their future. Now I want to briefly talk about this voice of God. So many people want that voice to be deep and almost harsh. I would like to think that in the midst of all that fear and confusion, as Peter, James, and John were seeing things about Jesus that they had never dreamed of, that the voice of God sounded more like Fred Rogers than James Earl Jones. That it sounded more like, I like you just the way you are, rather than, I am your father, Luke. But after that voice, after that comforting voice, the cloud goes away, the moment is over, and Peter, James, and John are stunned to silence as they ponder it all. All of this happened, but all of it started out with Jesus wanting to find some time and some space to pray. Now, I personally never expect dazzling white clothes or the actual presence of Moses and Elijah when I am praying. Yet in another way, this moment on this mountain is typical of taking time for prayer. As Jesus was praying, the presence of God was with him. As Jesus was praying, he was in conversation with the law and the prophets. As Jesus was praying, he was surrounded by those he cared for and was strengthened for the next part of his ministry. This is prayer, even for us. When Peter, James, and John were praying, the presence of God was with them. As Peter, James, and John prayed, the law and the prophets were there for them also. And as Peter, James, and John prayed, they too were surrounded by those they cared for and encouraged in the future ministry by the voice of God itself. That is prayer, even for us. When we pause in our lives for prayer, we may begin that conversation with God, with a God who loves us and wants to communicate with us, but the presence of God is with us. We can call upon Scripture, whether it's the law or the prophets or the writings or the gospels or the letters, all of it can help inform our prayer. If we take time to listen, God will communicate with us, encouraging us in our ministry and helping us to see that God's vision can become our mission. When we pray, we are also surrounded by those we care for as we pray for them, as we listen for guidance, and as we walk into a new future with God. See, the glory in which Jesus is transfigured is something I have never seen. The confusion of Peter, James, and John, now that's something I have felt. Today, Transfiguration Sunday, we celebrate the unveiling of Jesus in his glory. But I also want us to treasure the full experience of prayer with Christ. To know that we pray, all of us, as Jesus prays. Looking for communication and to help God change the future, it makes my heart sore. And so I encourage you, I invite you, I challenge you as we enter Lent to increase your prayer life. If you don't spend too much time in prayer, I invite you to begin to pray daily. First thing in the morning when you get out of bed or are brushing your teeth or maybe on your daily trip into work or school, over lunch, when you go to sleep, any other time of day, pray. Now, if you pray regularly, I encourage you to add another time for your praying. take a little more time at another space. And if you want it, I will challenge you to spend no less than 30 minutes at a time in prayer and contemplation, allowing God time to respond. Use your Bible, use famous prayers from other people to help, but I encourage you, pray. Because this is the basis of what Jesus was doing with Peter, James, and John today. He wanted them to pray, to spend the time, to make the effort, to enjoy God's presence, and to take from it all the blessings that come. Jesus wishes that for all of us as well. So may we discover time to spend in prayer, and may our lives too be transformed by the gracious and gentle voice of God. Amen.